The Benin Viewpoint car park is the starting place of two possible walks to the secret cages, which are more easily accessible at this end of the Raiders Road. The circular route to the cages via the upper viewpoint is 2.5 kilometres, or around 1.5 miles, while the lower level is about half that distance, although we should say that it's a steep ascent or descent, depending on which route is taken. But once you're there, there's a kite's eye view across Loch Ken from the top viewpoint, and rasping jays and other woodland birds can often be heard and seen along the walk. So, what are the secret cages? Here's Chris Rowley.
Well, they're not secret anymore, but they very much were secret because they were the cages that housed the young fledgling kites as they developed until we were able to release them, brought from their nests in the Chilterns down in southern England, and also just over half of them from northern Scotland, from nests up there. So they were brought here in complete secret, and they were taken into these cages, which were built in secret back then.
And they're well worth the walk to see, very atmospheric. However, if you'd prefer to stay in the car rather than going to see them, then keep this track running as you stay here, or when you're on the move to the next stop at Mossdale, if you do visit them just now, and you can share in the visit that Chris and I paid to that fascinating secret location.
This is remarkable. These are large structures. What, 10 feet tall?
Well, they must be getting on for it. Yes, certainly 8 feet, and they're 40 feet long, each of them. These cages really formed the site of the release for the first year, and indeed in subsequent years, and I think just over half of the kites that were released in Galloway between 2001 and 2005 were released from this very site.
And how long did you keep them in the cages?
Well, they were brought from nests around end of May, June time, up until mid-June, and they were kept in the cages until the end of July as their feathers developed before we released them in either the very last week of July or the first week of August, depending on the weather.
And then you fed them, what, here or other places?
Yes, we did. On top of the cages, we put some pieces of rabbit and the odd bit of goat, etc. And in a clearing just behind here, we had a more formal feeding location. In actual fact, the birds never came back to the tops of these cages very much at all. They did use the feeding location in a clearing beyond here, but only for about the first 6 weeks, because by that time they were already making forays out into the open countryside and finding food for themselves. And we ceased feeding from about September onwards.
But logistically, I mean, you've got big areas of board, 40 feet long, 10 feet tall, lots of netting, lots of stanchions. How did you keep the secret? How did you bring it in?
Yeah, how did we do it? Well, we were aided in that by a very wet, dank Sunday morning in March, late March time. We only had literally about 6 weeks to build the cages before the birds came. But it was a very, very damp Sunday morning when we met the helicopter pilot who came, and I went up in the helicopter. I knew this clearing was here. We'd put it in for night jars many years before. It's completely surrounded and secluded by conifer trees. So I went up in the helicopter and located the site for the pilot. And then, of course, he dropped in all of 3.5 tons of material into this location that damp Sunday morning. And nobody saw it.
When you say secret, nobody knew?
Well, the local landowners knew, because obviously you don't reintroduce kites without having a bit of local dialogue and consulting people, and indeed some of the local landowners around here, including Forestry Commission of course, had released cages elsewhere on their land. But in that very first year, in 2001, when we first released kites, that was foot and mouth here, and we weren't able to do very much at all in farmland, so this forestry site provided an ideal location. But we had to build the cages in secret and provide a secluded place to house the birds to give them the best start in life, so to speak, without disturbance. I think there was only one chap, an orienteerer, my teacher from Dalbeattie in fact, who stumbled across the cages when he was finding his way through the forest and phoned us up to say that he'd found all these exotic birds in cages. Were we interested?
I like it. And who looked after it?
Well, they were built by Raptor Study Group volunteers and all supervised by George Christie, who works for the RSPB now, who in fact is our kite officer just now. But at that time, he was a volunteer, he was in the Raptor Study Group, and he had some 26 years' experience of working in Clyde shipbuilders. So these are literally Clyde built.
Was Forestry Commission involved?
Yes, they were. They provided the site, of course, and the logistics in terms of the helicopter. The helicopter was coming to do a spraying job, and of course they were able to persuade the pilot to become involved and perhaps even paid for the pilot as well. The Raptor Study Group paid for most of the materials. The interpretation, etc., and the plans for the interpretation was provided by Forestry Commission, and of course they've now provided this wonderful walkway in compared to what we had when we actually built the cages back then. They're decaying slowly, I guess. But what they do is very graphically illustrate the story of the release of the kites. I mean, everything happened here. The birds were kept in these cages. They were fed through little hatches in the backs of the cages. The birds were checked twice a day. but we approached in silence, by and large, and the food was introduced through little trouser leg sheaths, through little holes in the back here, and miraculously, as far as the birds were concerned, food would arrive on a daily basis on a nest platform, which was pretty similar to where they'd been taken from, and it was all carried out in as natural a way as was possible. Of course, the day then came when we had to come and disturb the birds a bit more and fit wing tags and radio tags to all of the birds so that we could keep track of their movements and indeed their survival over the coming months and years. In fact, about a third of the birds that we released from these cages are still alive and well and breeding in the Galloway kite population to this day.
Now it's on to Mossdale, where you should select track 11.